آمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Disregarding and ignoring the realities that we find ourselves in and truths that bind us are more harmful, or is more harmful than disregarding instructions and to-dos and practice and taking orders. Many people, believers, they, in order for them to get closer to Allah, they look for instruction. They look for things to do. They look for must and should. For example, you should do this, you should not do this. They look for these instructions in order to grow closer to Allah. But the reality is that paying attention to those truths and those realities that we find ourselves in is more effective in obtaining guidance and getting closer to Allah than following instructions and commands. When we look at this reality and truth, that's why many people, when they do things or they follow instructions, you see that they don't have their hearts or their minds in those actions. Our prayers are proof of that. How many people pray and are unable to really get captivated by prayers, or their minds are not in prayers? Things that we do, whether it's ibadat, whether it has to do with akhlaq, whether it has to do with many things, instructions that we have to grow. You see, a lot of these things, you see, instead of trying to pay attention to these things, it is better and more effective to get closer to Allah, to pay attention to realities, to truths that are binding us. The extent you can grow closer to Allah by paying attention to reality, and I'll explain these realities that we have, is far more effective than trying to go towards Allah by doing things, by deeds or actions. Knowing life can bring you closer to Allah than acquiring virtues. A person, for example, wants to acquire virtue. He wants to be faithful. He wants to be brave. He wants to be muttaqi. You see, the person who pays attention to that and wants to acquire that, even if he acquires that, he will see that in order for him to get close to Allah and feel what he is actually trying to achieve can only occur when a person understands and sees reality. If he doesn't see reality, he might be doing as much as he can, but you see that whatever he's doing either is ineffective or sometimes is even harmful without knowing what reality is and without paying attention to reality. Let me explain some of that if you send a salawat. When we practice Islam, because this is something that all of us face, when we practice Islam and do things that Allah wanted us to do or keep away things from things that Allah wanted us to stay away from. We see that this itself, without having an eye and without paying attention and focusing on reality, really would not be useful for us. That's why you see many people pray, but because they don't know and don't have their attention on the realities that they find themselves in and the truths that bind us, we see that all these prayers still, after a lifetime of prayer, they still don't know where they are standing. And they don't feel that closeness or that nearness to Allah, because the idea of ibadat was qurbatan ilallah. And when a person doesn't get close, then why is it that I'm doing what Allah asked me to do, but why is it that I'm not getting closer? And what is the difference between me and that other person I hear about from the minbar or from stories that he was so much close to Allah? What is the difference? Because he prayed and I pray. He fasted and I fasted. So what is the difference? You see, the difference is a person who just takes this and pays attention to this without looking at reality, without paying attention to reality, really, these actions will not be that beneficial for him. He needs to pay attention to that reality that we find ourselves in. Looking at instructions of religion is looking at the aspect that is in our control. You see, there are things that we don't have control over. And by reality, this is what we mean. What are the things that are not in your control? What are the things that you don't have a choice in? Instead of looking at that, we start looking at things that we have a choice in, or we have control over. Now, Allah has put guidance in those things that we don't have a choice in, not in those things that we do have a choice in. When we look at like reality, what is reality? You see that a moment's worth of thinking regarding death will bring us closer to Allah than a year of prayers. Just a moment of thinking that death is a reality. It's a reality that we have to go in. Something, it's there, it's not in our choice. And right away you see that guidance comes from this fact. And this is what springs us forward to act on the instructions that Allah has given us as one thing. And there's so many realities that we have around us that we don't have a choice in. And the more we pay attention to those realities, the better it is for our growth. How much we want to grow, it is all based on that. And hence, this is from here. We want to understand what this is and how we can get closer to Allah by looking at these realities. And what does that mean? Send a salawat, please. Do we have ikhtiyar? Do we have choice in our actions? Yes, we do. It's very clear that we do have choice. Just the fact that I want to do this, I don't want to do this, is showing that I have choice. Otherwise, I wouldn't be saying that I want to pray. When you say I want to pray, it means that you have the choice to pray. And hence, the choice is there. But do we have complete choice? Do we have complete control of everything, of things that are in us? You see, here is, we see that we don't. We don't have that choice or the control. Many things that are in our lives that we don't have a control over. And it is these things that if a person starts paying attention to that and starts to notice them and starts to think about them, that is what actually gives us spirituality. People who want to go after spirituality, they think that if I pray a lot, I will do it. If I fast a lot, I will do it. Yes, it is there. Right? It's like, for example, you know, you go on two streets, right? One street is a local street, the other street is a highway. Yeah, the highway, there are no stop signs, red lights, or anything, right? You just go and you're going fast. On the small streets, you have red lights, stop signs, people, traffic, potholes, so many things, right? It slows you down. So what happened is that when a person wants to go closer to Allah, truly, if he tries to go towards Allah by doing the things that he has been told to do, then obviously he is like on a small street. But when he starts recognizing and acknowledging and knowing the realities, then this is a highway that puts him on a fast street towards the recognition of Allah and him getting closer to Allah. And this is where, because we don't pay attention to that, and because our mind is not in it, that's why we see our prayers are also like redundant habits. Habits that we do that is not making us go forward. If a person, his prayers, he doesn't see himself as really close to Allah, it's not because he is short of iman or faith, it's because he's not paying attention to realities. If he starts paying attention to reality, then his prayer, his ibadat, his actions, his deeds will have a whole different meaning in his life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So when we make out a list, you can make out a list of things that you have a choice in and you don't have a choice in. So when you make a list of things that you don't have ikhtiyar or control over or choice in, then a person, when he starts to look at that list, the minute he starts looking at that list, he will see how small he is, how insignificant he is, how little he is, and how irrelevant he is. This is what makes us look down on ourselves and become humble. But when a person starts looking at the things that he's doing, you see, this brings about arrogance and pride. The minute he starts to see that how many prayers he has done, right? You make out a list of all the ibadat you have done and you see, wow, I made so much. And right away, that doesn't lead you to humbleness, it actually leads you to arrogance. Anything that you do, I have done this good. The minute you start looking at the deeds you have done, you see arrogance starts coming in. But what makes us humble is the fact when we look at our reality. Allah says in the Quran, خُلَكَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفًا. He has made insan weak. This is a reality. It is not a choice. It is not in our control. You see, when we actually start looking at ourselves, how weak we are, how fragile we are, how, you know, easy it is for us to get harmed and hurt and die, when a person starts looking at that, then he starts recognizing how weak he is. I am weak. It's a reality. It's not my choice. It's not something I have control over. I am weak. This is what happens. Right away, he starts to recognize that I am weak. Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal insan, antumul fukara'u ilallah. O people, you are in need of Allah. This need, this is not a choice. This is not in our control. For example, this is not something that we decide, oh yes, I should be in need of Allah. I didn't decide that. It is a reality that when a person starts looking at it and starts noticing it, right away he understands that he needs Allah. You see, when we don't look at these realities, then arrogance comes about. This is why you see that, for example, when you want to see how shaitan works, his media, What he wants to do is not to show you bad things, you know, and so that you get, you know, because we have a very simple, simplistic way of looking at things. We think that, you know, by, for example, looking at bad scenes or reading bad books is going to, help us become a kafir or reject Allah. No, that is not how it works. Really, that's not how it works. You know, an evil movie, for example, a shaitani movie is a movie that gives the message that you are in control of these realities and that you can change these realities. It's not a movie that shows you bad scenes. You know, showing you bad scenes has its effect, but it doesn't make you a kafir. What makes you a kafir is the thought that I am control over these things that are realities, that I can change them. This is where arrogance comes in. This is what a kafir believes in, that I control things, that I am in charge. This is the attitude of a kafir and the faith of a kafir. A mu'min is different than that, which I will explain through the hadith of Imam Ali, how he explains it. But just understand the idea of who is a infidel. What is the thinking of a kafir? A kafir is someone who thinks that these realities that are there, I am in charge of these realities and I control them. And I can change them the way I want to. But when we look at who a mu'min is, then we see it's a whole different thing. Send a salawat when I read this hadith. Subhanallah. Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, he says, Al-Kibro Asharrul Uyub. He says that arrogance is the worst of defects. The worst defect that you can have is arrogance. This is the idea of kufr. Kufr brings you to arrogance. Why? Because I think that I'm in charge. I control things. And the reality is that there are many things that we don't control. And Allah put guidance in us thinking about those things that we do not control. Not those things that we have ability to change. Our ability to change increases when we start paying attention to things that are not in our control. These realities or these things that we don't have control over or choice in, they're called muqaddarat. They're called muqaddarat, or in other words, in our word, like taqdeer. Right? What is muqaddar? What is taqdeer? Taqdeer are those things that we don't have control over. We don't have a choice in. That Allah has said. Allah has made it and He has said it. You see, if Allah did not hold back things and did not make those things that we don't have a control over, what will happen is that we would think and actually will be having choice over everything. The reason Allah did not give everything in our hands, which He could, He has the choice to give everything in our hand. The reason He didn't is because by knowing the things that we are unable to do, we can recognize that we are in need of Allah. That's why He kept these things. It's not in your hand. Right? Many things are not in our hand. And we look at these muqaddarat. And the minute we start paying to muqaddarat, we see that we feel spiritually good. Our ruh feels good. The ruh starts feeling good. That's why you see, once a year, when Allah wanted us, when Allah gave the incentive of thinking about muqaddarat and thinking about taqdeer, we see we feel good that night. It is called Laylatul Qadr. Why is it that we feel spiritually good at that night? Because we are actually paying attention to muqaddarat. Our prayers are going hand in hand by us paying attention to things that are taqdeer. right? That are muqaddar for us. That's why, for example, our prayers, you see, have more meaning. We feel that our prayers have more meaning, and it's a reality. It does. And the same feeling that we have on Laylatul Qadr could be achieved every night of the year, every day of the year, if we keep the knowledge and the awareness of those of muqaddarat side by side with our actions and deeds. This is where you see that springboard is. This is where we need to notice these muqaddarat that are there. These, knowing that and acknowledging that and recognizing that, is what makes us recognize that we are truly in need of Allah. This is a reality. We are in need of Allah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now we come to the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which he has explained this to us. He says, kullama zdad al-aqlu rajul. He says, the more that the intelligence of a person grows, the more aql grows, what happens? His iman grows in those things that he has no control over. See this hadith, and it has its depth, right? And just, I want you to pay attention to this. It's really something that, if we understand it, then we'll truly know where and on what things to focus on in our life. He says that any time a person's aql grows and he becomes more intelligent, then his faith grows in muqaddarat, in things that we don't have control in, no choice in. His iman grows in that. And what else? The second thing that happens that he says is that he will start to regard things that change as irrelevant. Subhanallah. Two things happen when your aql grows. One, those things that we do not have control in, you start to believe and you start to have more faith in that. Whenever you become more intelligent, what Allah has destined for you, you start believing in that. What Allah has made that you don't have any control over, you start believing in that. That Allah, this aql that you gave me has made me reach this point that I recognize this reality that I'm in need of you. That I need you. I believe in that because this relationship we have, I have recognized this is a reality. He starts believing in that. And then the other flip side of that is that he starts to look at those things that he can change as irrelevant. In other words, am I able to change my eventual course to Jannat or Jahannam by my actions? You see, this is where you see many Muslims, they get this idea that, we earn our Jannat and we go to Jannat by our actions. Really, looking at our actions and looking at our deeds, right? Can anyone claim that, yes, I have done enough that I can claim Jannat now. This is, my right. I'm entitled to it. Can anyone do that? Can anyone say that? It would be like you and your actions, How much are they worth? How much are they worth? That one, for example, if you remember that one riwayat or incident from Bani Israel, there was a person in the time of Bani Israel who was a monk. A monk in the sense that he was an abid, someone who worships a lot, does a lot of ibadat. And he had prayed for 40 years. 40 years constantly he prayed to Allah. And he kept, for example, record, Allah, he did not miss even one time, right? He kept the record of that. And as soon as he saw the record, and he says, wow, look at me, how much did I worship Allah? How much I worship Allah. Obviously, I'm sure to go to Jannat right now. And look at all these people. I have done more than them. So if I don't go, then all of these don't go anyway. Right? I'm that good. That's the way I am. So Allah wanted to teach him, you know, okay, let's see how much your ibadat is actually worth in front of reality. In front of haqiqat. In front of waqi'iyat. How much is your ibadat worth? So one time when he was praying, Allah made the water in that region disappear. Made the water in the region disappear. You know? And so as he was praying, he got thirsty and started looking for water. There was no water. Went around looking for water. There was no water. So he was really thirsty now. And he came to such an extent, you know, he's very thirsty. And then he saw a person walking with a water bag. He came to him and said, listen, you know, I'm really thirsty. Would you give me some water? So the person looked at him and said, all right, I'll make a deal with you. He said, what is that? He says, if you can trade me half of your ibadah that you have done in your life, I'll give you a glass of water. And this person said, what are you talking about? Half of my ibadah? You know how much that is? That's 20 years. No way. Right? So he said, all right, your wish. He started walking. And this person, he decided that, listen, I need to go behind him. You know, maybe I can convince him later, right? He starts walking behind him. There's no water. And now he's like really thirsty, on the pangs of death, truly parched, right? He says, all right, you know what? I accept your deal. So he said, all right. You know, he gave him a glass of water. He drank the water. Half the ibadah was given. You know, he agreed. Half my ibadah is for you now. Okay, good. Now he says, you know what? I need to look for water and this and that. He starts looking for water. Again and again starts looking. There's no water there. And again he comes to that stage of death. Really, really bad situation. And he could not see it. When he saw this man again with the water bag, he made the offer. He says, listen, please take the other half of my worship and give me some water. Give me the other half of water. So as soon as he gave him water, right, then obviously he heard the voice that came to him and said, now tell me how much is your ibadat worth? Tell me how much is the worth of your worship, right? Two glasses of water? You're in need of this, right? If you had paid attention to this reality, how much you are in need of, you wouldn't have had this thought in your mind. This is the reality. Looking at the things that we need, this is the reality. I'm in need. The minute I look at it, then I can understand what this ibadat is. That ibadat will have true meaning, and ibadat will never make me arrogant. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. And this is, my friends, the importance of recognizing those things we don't control. Allah has put guidance in those things, paying attention to them. Just take a look at them and you will see, wow. Any reality that we have, we see, the minute we look at it, we understand who we are. I am nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm a nobody. But the minute we start looking at those things that we do and our deeds, that's when arrogance comes in. That's when we become big-headed. The minute we start looking at those things. Oh, you know, I prayed so much. It's worth nothing in compared to this need that I have of Allah. Subhanallah. This is where it comes about, my friends. And when a person grows in his intelligence, he starts to believe in those things that Allah has given and makes himself recognize that what he can do is worth nothing. Really, it is Allah you give. That's why, for example, Jannat is not rewarded because of it, that it's the value of our actions or something like that, that we think. No, it is Allah's grace and His mercy and His compassion that He has given you more value for your ibadah than it deserves. Jannat, really, I mean, you know, we cannot think that this is the value of, you know, like the of our ibadah. No, it's Allah who's saying that, listen, you do these things and I will give you jannat, meaning that I will make an offer to you that you can't refuse. I'm giving you so much for the little you have done. It is Allah's mercy that is sending us there. At the end, that is what Allah, that's why when we enter, we say Alhamdulillah. You know, to Allah is the praise. And hence, recognizing these realities, these muqaddarat, this is what makes us truly start believing in this relationship and gives our ruh that happiness. And this is where we want to go with this. I will give you an example that happened in the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Send a salawat. In the battle of Siffin, we see the Imam was with Malik Ashtar, and he was just speaking about all the betrayals and deceptions that have happened and how his own people have betrayed him, have left him, gone away from him, you know. So he was explaining this to Malik Ashtar. I mean, really, you know, of all the people that he had and all these people who took the bribes of Muawiyah and are slowly and slowly like leaving him, right? So Malik Ashtar said that, Mawla, you know, I mean, in order to console him, Malik Ashtar said, you know, Mawla, you know, you know, we had two major wars and people are war weary. And, you know, they're looking for their dunya now. They're looking for their dunya. And Muawiyah is taking advantage of that. Muawiyah is taking advantage of that, that he is offering them money, he's offering them dunya so they can get out of this war and they can have a happy life. So he told Imam Ali that if you also want the people to, you know, come back and to do these things, you know, we could make an offer to them. We can also give them, you know, an extra amount of money, because you see the way that Baytul Mal used to work, which is the public treasury, is that everyone would get a fair amount, equal amount. Now he said that those people on the war and here and there, you know, we can give them, you know, some extra money and they will be with you. Imam Ali said that, listen, right, I mean, this is, you know, again, understand where Malik and his mind is working. He's saying that, listen, Muawiyah did this, but if we do this, right, it'll turn the tide in our favor. We can do this. And Imam Ali, in reply to that, he said, listen, Malik, giving people more than they deserve from Baytul Mal, that cannot be done. That cannot be done. That is wrong. We cannot do that. And then he said that if Allah wills and if He wants us to be victorious, we will be victorious. And if Allah wants us to lose here, we will lose here. This is in Allah's hands. This is in Allah's hands. But we won't go and go against the directions of Allah, realities of Allah, you know, what He has given us. No, we can't do that. Malik Ashtar was trying to look at from this angle what we can do to change things. And Imam Ali right away diverted his attention and said that, listen, what we can do things or what we can do to change things is not important. What's important is what Allah has decreed for us and what He wants from us. This is, my friends, this is the place for us to understand things. That sometimes when we look at hardships, when we look at the things that happen to us and those muqaddarat that are there, they are there for a reason. And when we start to think that we can change those muqaddarat, that we can change those things that we have no control over, this is when we start losing our mind and that thoughts of kufr start coming into ourselves. Let me just list out the things, and I don't know if you have the time to go into the main thing, but I will list out some of the things that when you look at it affect a reality. Are we able to change these muqaddarat? that we have? Yes. We can change these muqaddarat. That's why Laylatul Qadr is there. Laylatul Qadr is the night that we change these muqaddarat, that we can make dua and we can change these muqaddarat. We can write what we want in these muqaddarat that we have. But there are other things also that have an effect on the things that we have no control over. Let me go through list of these things so that you understand what affects the things that we get. Let's, for example, let's say rizq. What affects it? How much we get in this and how can you change that? Here are some things I will mention so that you know. The first thing as a list, not by importance, but just as a list. The first thing that affects our muqaddarat, that affects the things that we have no control over, are our thoughts, our fikr, our afkar, our ideology. Really, what is our ideology? This has a huge effect on our muqaddarat. A person, you know, who, for example, in his ideology is strong, you see, Allah will change his muqaddarat. And this has an effect on it. Right. Now, does it make it better or worse? No, it has nothing to do with becoming greater or less. You will see that most of these things that change for a mu'min, it means that his muqaddarat are going to become less. Understand it. Are going to become less, not more. Right? As an example, you know, a person, you know, because, you know, Allah, what he does to a mu'min is completely different than what he does to an infidel or a kafir. He deals with them completely differently. A person came to the mosque of the Prophet at night. He was hungry, and so he started to pray in the masjid for rizq. Allah, he says, Allah, please give me rizq, please give me. He started praying for it, praying for it, praying for it, and he went through the whole night and no rizq came. So he complained to the Prophet. He says, you know, that what happened? You know, there's no rizq that came. I prayed all night for rizq and Allah has promised he'll give rizq and I prayed in your masjid and this and that. So, Rasulullah, you know, I mean, you know, received the news that, okay, let's see what happened, you know. So he told them that, listen, you know what? Allah has informed me that he gave you the rizq you asked for. He says, what happened? I didn't get any meal. He was waiting for a steak probably. Right? I didn't get anything. He remained hungry. He said, Allah said that the best thing, the best risk for you is not having any meal. Because if Allah had given you a meal, then you would have stopped praying. You would have stopped praying. So Allah didn't give it to you, so you keep on praying. He loved what you were doing. Subhanallah. You see, for a mu'min, sometimes his ideology, you know, and this is one of the realities he needs to understand. So his thoughts affect muqaddarat. Number two, what else? Attachments. Who you're attached to also will, you see that, if you're attached to people who stand with the truth, you know, if you are attached to people who stand up against zulm, so your muqaddarat will be lessened. Whether it's through sanctions or boycott or whatever. Right? It happens. Why? Because you stood with the wrong people. Actually, you did stood with the right people, but in the view of the world, you stood with the wrong people. Right? It does happen. And hence what happens is that who you're attached to also have an effect on your muqaddarat, on what you get. Number three, your beliefs. Right? We see that right away. You are a Shia. You are a Shia, you are attached to Ahlul Bayt. So now what happens? You are in trouble. Right? You are in trouble. Right? Look at what's going on in the world. You'll see that. Why are there people? Because of your belief. The muqaddarat are changed because of you. You leave this belief, nothing will happen to you. You leave this belief, nothing will happen to you. Your muqaddarat that you are getting from Allah, you see, will be changed. But for your betterment, for your good, because you are worthy of it. That's why it's changed. Subhanallah. Fourth, actions and deeds also change our muqaddarat. Right? whatever, you know, for example, you know, that we give sadaqah, right? Whatever is going to happen, you see, when you give sadaqah, you see that it changes the bala or the muqaddar that was coming towards you. It changes that. It has an effect. So these are actions and deeds also have an effect. The fifth thing is a niyat, your intention. Your intention has an effect on your muqaddar. There's a hadith that we have that if a mu'min intends to sin, then Allah stops his risk. He stops his risk. When a mu'min intends to sin, not that he sins, when he intends to sin. إِذَا نَوِيَ الْمُؤْمِنْ ذَنْبًا. If a mu'min intends to sin, then Allah stops his risk. Why? Because usually a mu'min sins when he, you know, when he thinks he has too much. Right? And you see that, you know, he thinks that. So when Allah makes him constrained, then the thought of sinning will go away from him. It changes. Muqaddar changes when we intend our intentions. Last thing, love that Allah and Ahlul Bayt have for us. I think this overlaps also, but it has its own places. When Allah loves you, and if Ahlul Bayt loves you, that has an effect on your muqaddarat. It has an effect on your muqaddarat when they love you. Subhanallah. Brothers, sisters, we can change our muqaddarat. We have the choice to do that through many things. But the reality is that many things Allah kept in His control, not in our control, so that we can gain guidance from it and truly be uplifted by those things and by those thoughts of our neediness towards Allah. That is reality. But when Allah loves someone, when Ahlul Bayt love someone, then the muqaddarat that you see that are there, the realities around him change. Really, they change. You know, it's like, for example, when you love someone, when you have love for someone, you see that you are more strict with them. You're stricter with them. You want them to be better. You want them to be stronger because you love them. When you don't love them, you don't care. You don't care, you know. What your neighbor's kids do, you don't care. But if your son is doing the same thing, then you'll be worried. Right? You make it strict on him. When Allah loves you, if you want Allah to love you, then you have to understand that life here will become constrained. If Ahlul Bayt love you, they also become constrained because they expect things. They expect greater things from you. They expect better from you. They expect more from you. That's why. And so when we look at the relationship that we have with Ahlul Bayt, do we want Ahlul Bayt to love us? A person, you know, who wants comfort, who wants these things, you'll see that really, if they understand what this love means, probably they will be afraid of it. Subhanallah. We see in Kufa, really, some people, you know, sometimes what happened is that instead of recognizing what reality is, people try to change reality. In Kufa, when Muslim ibn Aqil was there, some companions of Muslim ibn Aqil, those people who supported him, they left him. They left him. Now, many people left Muslim ibn Aqil for various reasons. Some people left Muslim ibn Aqil because of threat of life, danger. Some people left him because of their families, you know, who were not agreeing with what they were doing. Some people left him for many reasons. There was one group that wasn't afraid of death. Really, they weren't afraid of death. You know why they left Muslim ibn Aqil? They left him because they thought that if they stick with Muslim ibn Aqil, then they won't be able to help Imam Hussein. You see this idea that came into their mind. They said that if you stick with him, we'll die here, but then Hussein will not have us. So we'd rather be with Hussein than with Muslim ibn Aqil. How far reaching is this idea that you can change reality? I mean, either way, you're going to be shaheed. Whether you die with the with Muslim ibn Aqil, who was Imam Hussein's naib, or you die with Imam Hussein. Tell me, don't we take the name of Hani ibn Urwa amongst those people who died with Imam Hussein? Muslim ibn Aqil, Hani ibn Urwa, we send special salam to them. Right? Wouldn't their name would also be taken in the same way? But you see, you know, when a person truly looks at things and recognizes reality, then probably he can go along with that instead of trying to change it. They left Muslim ibn Aqil and they never had the chance to be with Imam Hussein. They had the chance to achieve shahadat. And they were not afraid of death. And this is reality, my friends. Truly, when Ahlul Bayt love us, when Allah loves us, then our life does become different. Really does become different. And when we see the love that Allah has for people, and we saw that in the people who came with Imam Hussein in Karbala, truly, how much does Allah love them? And this is what Imam Hussein was saying, right? Allah, you want to try my love? Go ahead. You know, this is, Imam Hussein understood, this is Allah's way of loving him. Right? But he was the Imam. He's the Imam. But I want you to understand that even the children of Imam Hussein were like that. Subhanallah. Even the children of Imam Hussein were like that. You know, how much can you do to us? How much harm can you bring to us? How much injury can you cause us? Go ahead. And this is why you see that, for example, the movement of Imam Hussein became his children. His symbol of that movement became his children. In Karbala, it was Ali Asghar. And after Karbala, it was Sakina. Really. Subhanallah, you know. Fortunate were those who became shaheed in Karbala. Really fortunate were those. You can say in one way, from one angle I'm saying this, so you can understand where I'm saying this from. Because you know what? If they faced hardship, it was a day of hardship. It was a couple of days of hardship. But after Karbala, those who remained behind, it was hard for them. It was hard for them, really. Can you imagine this? How much did Sakina go through? You know, how much did Sakina go through? You know, that can we compare her pain to the pain of those who died in Karbala? Look at this, how much she has gone through after Karbala, in just the death of her father. On the afternoon, on the Asr of Ashura, we see Sakina in so many situations, in so many states. Every place you look, you see there's a riwayat of Sakina bint Hussein. Everywhere you see this, what's going on with her. On one hand, she's thirsty. And her thirst is such that truly, you know, people who died in Karbala, who were shaheed on Ashura, you see, their thirst was quenched by shahadat. But Sakina's thirst went on from that time onwards. Onwards, until such an extent that it is said that every place that there was a point when this army had captured them and made them captives, they brought them to a certain place and they were drinking water and they were giving water to the animals. And Sakina, who was thirsty, in the lap of Zainab, she asked her aunt Zainab that, is it all right for me to go and ask for some water? Zainab said, my daughter, Listen to this. If Hussein could ask for water for Ali Asghar, then there's nothing wrong in asking for water because this is a human need. You go ahead and ask for water. So Sakina stood up and she started walking. She's weak, you know, because there's blood that's coming from her ears onto her clothes. Her clothes are filled with her blood that has fallen from the earlobes from which the earrings were snatched out the day before. She is still looking at, and her mind is for those who had died in Karbala, and she is still under the trauma of their death. She is walking now towards the tents of the army. And when she cuts close to the tents of the army and she speaks to someone about water, Shimr sees this. Shimr, looking at this, comes forward to her and says, "What do you want?" She says, "I want water." He says, "Oh, you want water? Okay, I will give you water. I will give you water." So what he does is that he takes a water bag. He says, "Come after me. Do you think that I should give water to my own people first? These people are thirsty and they deserve it more than you." They deserve it more than you. She just looks at him, doesn't say anything. Then he goes forward, he gives water to the soldiers. You know, when you're thirsty, it's one thing when you don't see water, but when you see other people drinking water, you become more thirsty looking at them. He sees Sakina looking at the soldiers drinking water and he takes pleasure in that. Sakina is next to the tent. There is rays of the sun that comes and she sees that she wants to get in the shade. So she steps into the shade of the tents. And as soon as she stepped, then Shimr, making fun of her, ridiculing her, says, "No, if you want water, you need to stand in the sun. Otherwise, I won't give you water. Stand in the sun. Stand out there." Sakina steps outside. They walk forward until he gives water to all the soldiers. He gives water to all the soldiers. And then you know what happened? Then he says, "Wait a minute, you know, now you want water?" He says, "Yes." He says, "Wait a minute. You see those animals there, those horses? They're thirsty also. And they deserve water more than you." They deserve water more than you. So he goes to the animals and he starts giving them water from the water bag. And Sakina looks at this and she still waits, doesn't complain, doesn't say anything. She's waiting for her turn to get the water. And then after he gave the water to everyone, then no one was left. Now he comes to Sakina. Sakina now looks at him and he says, "Now you want water? Now you want water?" She says, "If you can give me water, then it will be good." So then he takes the water bag. He says, "Stretch out your arms." She stretches out like you're making dua. Like in the state that you're making dua, she stretches out the arms, holds her palms together. He takes the water bag and he spills the water bag on the ground in front of her. He spills the water in the ground in front of her. Sakina looks at that water that has gone in the ground in the same state that she's holding her hand, raises the hand in the sky and says, "Ya Allah, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Jaddi, O grandfather Rasulullah, look at this ummat of yours. You have told them that you should treat orphans with mercy. Here I am, an orphan of Hussein, and look how they're treating me." سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ يَا مَحْمُودُ بِحَقِّ مُحَمَّدٍ يَا عَلَى بِحَقِّ عَلِي يَا فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ بِحَقِّ فَاطِمَةَ يَا أَبُو حُسَيْنٍ بِحَقِّ حَسَنٍ يَا قَدِيمُ الْأَحْسَانِ بِحَقِّ حُسَيْنٍ. Allah, give us the tawfiq to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand your guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Increase the love of Ahlul Bayt in our hearts and in the hearts of our children. Make our feet firm on the path of Islam. Wa akhir al-da'wan, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Matami Hussain.
Ya Hussein. 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 Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa majma hai kufiyon ka, mere chalne ki ja koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Sajad mere sar se no bar chini chadar, balwe mein nabi saadi phir aayi gayi dar dar. Mil jaye rida mujhko mere aur meri dua koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Sajad chalo kaise laakhon hai tamashai, yaad aata hai reh reh ke Abbas mera bhai. Faryaad karu tujhse ab tere siwa koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Sajad mere dil ko ye dard satata hai, sar gazi ka neze se jab khaak pe aata hai. Sar mera khula dekhe gham se bara koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar maloom hai ada ko ghazi ki behan hoon main, bedast hai wo ghazi paband rasan hoon main. Yaad aayi wafa uski jab paas raha koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad mein Zainab hu, mere sar pe rida koi nahi. Bazaar Jafa Sajad teri halat dekhi nahi jati hai, बेपर्दा मुझे देखे ये बात रुलाती है, सजाद तेरी तरह कांटों पे चला कोई नहीं। बाजार जफा सजाद मैं ज़ैनब हूँ, मेरे सर पेरिदा कोई नहीं। बाजार जफा सजाद मैं ज़ैनब हूँ, मेरे सर पेरिदा कोई नहीं। बाजार जफा मजमा है कूफियों का, मेरे चलने की जा कोई नहीं। बाजार जफा सजाद मैं ज़ैनब
बाजार। आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन, 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 आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन। आ मेरी गोद के पले मेरे हुसैन, आ मेरे गरीब, आ जरा माँ के करीब आ। सीना फिगार है तेरा मुझको है ये पता, दश्ते बला में फातिमा जहरा की थी सदा। आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन, आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन। किसने मेरे जिगर पे ये खंजर चला दिया, किसने मेरे हुसैन को पानी नहीं दिया। खुद चल के क्यों ना आ गया दरिया को क्या हुआ, एक बार माँ पुकार के गोदी में लेट जा। आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन, आ रे हुसैन। शेरोज की ये प्यास ये जलती हुई जमी, चेहरा लहू लहू तेरा धोनी मुहे जबी। मजलूम मेरे लाल के जैसा कोई नहीं, तीरों से मेरे लाल का सीना भरा हुआ। आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन, आ मेरे हुसैन। पहले तो बाबा जान को रोई मैं जार जार, रोई अली को कब्र में दिल हो गया फिगार। एक लाल था हसन मेरा उसकी हूँ सोगवार, अब तेरे गम में कब्र में रहने नहीं दिया। आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन, आ रे हुसैन। आता है याद मुझको मदीने में अपना घर, चक्की में पीसती थी मगर तुम पे थी नजर। तुमको सुलाया करती थी रातों को जाग कर, अब मैं जगाने आई हूँ ए लाल जाग जा। आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन, आ मेरे हुसैन। माँ हूँ मुझे बता तेरे सीने पे क्या हुआ, क्यों है कमर झुकी हुई चेहरा लहू भरा। अब्बास है कहाँ, अली अकबर कहाँ गया। हाँ थक गया है आ मेरी गोदी में लाल, आ आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन, आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन, आ मेरे प्यारे हुसैन। या हुसैन,
सूरह अल-मुबारक अल-फातिहा।
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahumma kulli waliyaka hujjatan al-hasan.